Good morning, family. How are we this morning? It's a little bit lighter in here, but I know everyone's still mingling and talking out there, but I'm excited to be in the house of God. I don't know what it is, just the last few months, the presence of God has just increased. It's been so fun. Expectation has been stirred up. I can't wait to get into the presence of God. So I'm excited for today. But before we jump into it, we have some announcements for you. If you're new to the church, if you maybe you want to get connected and you haven't had the chance to get connected yet, we have a place for you. It's called the Connect Room. It's right down this hallway here. There's coffee, refreshments, some staff in there. We would love to get to know you and get you connected and plugged into the house of God. Also, who's been attending the praise services that we've already had? First week done in the books. And let me tell you, if you did not show up, you missed out. You missed out. And I don't know about you, I get FOMO sometimes, which is that fear of missing out. This is something you want FOMO for, is you don't want to miss out on what God's doing, because these praise services have only built. From night one, it was powerful, and every single night it got better and better and better. And the great thing about God is that He doesn't just stop and stay. He is ever increasing. He's ever going to the next place. And He does the same in our own lives. So I want to encourage you, if you've not yet been to our praise services Tuesday through Friday at 7 p.m., you can come starting this Tuesday. You don't want to miss it. God is on the move. And I'm telling you, when God's on the move, I'm getting on that train. I don't want to miss anything that God is doing. Amen?
Amen.
Also, to end it, our 21 days of praise, we're going to have Brother Teddy Shuttlesworth Jr. here with us. That final weekend on the 28th, that Friday night, is our Uproar Partners Night. We encourage you to come out to that, really just to be in the presence of God, but also just to show support for the Uproar Conference. This is our 10th year this year. We've been in a decade now, and God has been so faithful, and we're just believing that this year, man, my husband heard last year, volume two, that 10 years would be the start of volume two. I don't know what that means, but I am so excited. So you don't want to miss that. Then we'll be continuing a Saturday night special service at 7 p.m. and then he'll be here on Sunday, both services. I'm telling you, the next couple weeks, boy, get ready, because God is doing things. God is doing some major things, and He's going to do it in your life. Also, one last and final thing, we have our annual motorcycle bike blessing coming up the 29th right here starting at 8:30 a.m. You don't want to miss out to that. It's always a great cause. All proceeds this year are going to be going to the Potter's Hand Foundation. That's where they helped sex trafficked women, abused, violent, you know, women coming out of that. They help them get back on their feet, give them the word of God. So it's going to a great cause. So if you want to support that, if you want to volunteer for that, I know they're still looking for volunteers. You can contact Brad Garrett. They should be out there. It's going to be, I'm telling you, we got a lot going on, a lot of great things. But most importantly, man, God is, He's on the move. So I'm excited. I want to get into praise. I want to get into worship, not just because it's a Sunday, because we get to be in the presence of God. So go ahead and stand to your feet. You can make your way up front. We're going to pray, and we're going to expect to meet with our Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you right now. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. We invite you to invade our lives. We invite you to invade our thoughts, Father. We thank you and give you praise now for what you want to do. We ask you to have your way, Holy Spirit. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Can I hear a loud shout of amen?
Yay! Come on and sing this. Say, Lord, we lift you up. We lift you up for on the Lord, we lift you up. We lift you up for all eternity. Come on and sing that again. Say, Lord, we lift you up. We lift you up. Lord, we lift you up. We lift you up for all eternity. Come on, last time, sing, Lord, we lift you up. you up. Say, Lord, we lift you up. We lift you up for all eternity. Say, we come to celebrate. We come to give you all the praise. Mighty is your name. We shout hallelujah. Say, we come to celebrate. We come to give you everything, every single thing. We shout hallelujah. Say, we come to celebrate. We come to give you all the praise. Mighty is your name. We shout hallelujah. Say we come to celebrate. We come to give you everything, every single thing. We shout, say we lift you up. Father, we lift you up. We lift you up higher. Say higher. And we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. We give it up louder. Say louder. And we lift you up. You up, we lift you up higher, say higher, and we give you praise. Father, we give you praise, we give it up louder, say louder. Lord, we lift you up, we lift you up for all the world to say. Lord, we lift you up, we lift you up. Come on, and last time, say, Lord, we lift you up for all eternity. Yeah, say we lift you up. Father, we lift you up. We lift you up higher. Say higher. We give you praise. Father, we give you praise. We give it up louder. Say louder. We lift you up. Father, we lift you up. We lift you up higher. Jehovah's turned my life around. He has turned my life around. He makes a way where there is no way. Jehovah has a... Come on, everybody. Jehovah's turned my life around. He has turned my life around. He makes a way where there is no way. The final say. We have to put our faith into action, right? So when we sing Jehovah's turned my life around and you see us spinning, that's because if it hasn't happened yet, then he's doing it. So we're gonna sing that again, and I just want to see everybody just turn their bodies around, just seeing in faith what God is going to do. If he's already done it, then praise the Lord. So we're gonna sing that, okay? Say, Jehovah's turned my life around. Yeah, he has turned my life around. He makes a way where there is no way. Say, Jehovah. Come on, last time. Everybody spin. Jehovah's turned my life. He has turned my life around. And he makes a way. Last time, say, who has the final say?
Yeah. This next song, I just feel as if God wants to heal people in two certain areas. One, it's weird. It feels almost there's like a pinch where your trap meets your neck. And I want you to meet me up here if that's you. And then over on this other side, right side, a couple inches up, it feels like it's probably a disc. Right in the middle on your back, more on the right side. But if that's you, meet me right up front. We want to pray for you. Come on, and we're going to worship. We're going to let Jesus do what he does. But if that's you, just right up front, just lift your hands so I know what we're praying for. Amen. Yeah, right over here. Can we lift our hands in this place? Here's what I love. I love Jesus. I don't care for religion. I want Jesus. I want the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I read it in first service by Isaiah chapter 64, verse 1. It says, "Oh, that you would tear open heaven, and the mountains would quake at your presence." Man, I'm telling you what, Jesus is tearing heaven open up, not for religion, but for those who are hungry and desire him. Scripture says those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. If you want more of Jesus in this place, will you lift your hands? Let's worship. Let's go to another place. Not religion. I don't want to just check a box. I went to church. I want Jesus in this place. Go ahead and lift your hands as we worship.
You are my strength.
Strength like no other.
strength like no other. You're my strength like no other. I said it reaches to me. Oh, you are my strength. Yeah, yeah. You're my strength like no other. And you're my strength. Sing that out. Say, you are my strength.
You are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. It reaches to me. Say, you are my strength.
me up. You lift me up in the fullness, in the fullness of.
In your shoulder, I'd love to pray for you. But Jesus is a healer. He's still moving. He still loves. It's still confirmation of him. I couldn't work that up. Man, I'll tell you what, Zach said for, what, 3 or 4 years he's had that pain. If at any moment he could have got healed on his own will, I'm sure it would have been 3 years ago. But it was Jesus in a moment. Jesus in a moment for healing. Amen? You love Jesus in this place?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I said Jesus. Do you love Jesus in this place? Come on and give him some praise. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Man, some people would get disappointed, like, oh, now we're going to end worship. I'm telling you what. Worship prepares our hearts for the Word, and the Word prepares our hearts for the Holy Ghost to shape, to move, to convict, to launch. We're just getting better. Oh, man, I just love Jesus. How awesome is that? Man, Craig was in a crappy position, but now his back is good. Amen. Will you guys welcome Pastor Palco? She comes to take the offering.
Amen. As you're going back to your seats, how many of you just want Jesus? Amen. Now, how many of you are desperate for Jesus? Can I hear a shout? Amen. Well, I am desperate for Jesus. And we're in a season where God wants to be intimate with us in a way that we've never experienced him before. He wants to meet us in the quiet places. He wants to do supernatural works in our lives. He wants to give us supernatural revelation and illumination. But that can only come through our desperation and our hunger for him and all of who he is and all of what he encompasses. So for me, I'm desperate for God. And when you're really desperate for him, you're desperate to do whatever it takes to honor him. Whatever might separate you from his presence, you're begging the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you so that you can be intimate with him. And I pray that that's our hearts as saints today. See, so many churches miss it. They're caught up in the religion of it all. Well, I say it's time to lose our religion and to enter into relationship with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Man, I could preach a message on this. I won't, because Pastor Cody has a really great message. But there are times in our life where we become desperate. And you've heard the phrase, desperate times call for desperate measures. I heard a story the other day of a man from California who had an injury and had lost his job. And he was receiving some payments, some disability payments, but the disability payments ran out. How many of you know that what the world can offer will always eventually run out? Amen. And his savings ran out and the bills were due, and he did not have enough money to even take care of his children. So he had to send his children to live with other people. And he was sitting there watching the Antique Roadshow one day. You never know when God is going to show up. And he watched them appraise a beautiful blanket that looked so familiar to him. And he thought, I think my grandmother owned a blanket like that. So he went up into the attic, dusted off a box, and he pulled out that very same blanket. He took it to get appraised and found out that that blanket was worth $1.5 million. But my question is, how many of us are sitting on the blessings that God has for us? How many of us have let dust collect? See, the world will tell you that you have to hold on and hoard your money and hold on and hoard the blessings that God has given you. But God tells us differently. If you look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, it says, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper, and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And verse 26 says, people curse those who hoard their grain. And then if we look at Malachi 3:10, it says, bring you, not bring those, not bring them, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now. Herewith, prove me now, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out unto you a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. If you're desperate for all that God has for you, and if you're in desperate times, take desperate measures and give God what is already his. what's holy, separated unto him. I'm desperate for Jesus. That means I'm desperate to do whatever he has called me to do. Even when it's scary, even when it's hard, even when it does not make sense. So we're going to give you an opportunity to bring your tithes into the kingdom. You can give via histabernacle.com online. Go ahead and just hit the give button, or you can text to give 84321. But in this house, we love to bring our tithes and our offerings forward. So I'm going to ask you to stand and say our supernatural proclamation that comes directly from the Word of God, which, by the way, the Word is prophetic. So that means you're decreeing and declaring this over your life. This decade is the decade of the pay. That means that when you speak, it becomes, it is. So this is your declaration, not just some words we recite from the back of a hymnal. Can I hear an amen? Some of us were there at one time. So you're going to repeat after me. If I obey, then the blessings are going to, oh geez, see, I messed it up. Even Pastor Cody. Pastor Cody gives it to somebody else to do it because he can't remember it half the time, and I've done it twice this morning and already forget. Okay, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up because I'm a child.
Feeling? All right, still asleep. How's everybody feeling? There you go. Better, better, better. Hey, obviously I'm not Pastor Spencer, but we are sharing him this morning with a great church in Hobart, Indiana. He's been able to speak in their lives for the last couple of years, and I'm sure they're getting an awesome service over there, and we get to hang out for the next 45 minutes. Sound good? Is that all right? Cool. Well, look, I'm so excited about these 21 days of praise. And if Jesus does anything in your life, which I'm sure he will, we have a thing on the wall. I don't even know what to call it. We have a thing on the wall. It says my story in the foyer. And we'd love to collect what Jesus is doing. Why? Because we want to celebrate what God does. We'd be crazy to not celebrate when he does something. So write on the wall as you're leaving, if like Jesus healed people today. So go ahead and write that out. Put that on the wall so we can celebrate what God did. Someone just texted me and said first service they felt to give two seeds. So they put both in, and he said 2 minutes after the service, someone put cash in his hand that was the same amount as the first seed. And God has good timing. But this morning, man, we've been talking about all year changing forward. We know last year got a lot of people caught up and stuck in one place. But the goal of God and the goal of what we're doing is not being stuck in one place, but it's moving forward in the things of God. Amen? And I believe that it's time to take ground. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 and 8, Scripture says this. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and does not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. And what we know about 2020 is there was a lot of fear even coming into 2021. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of people caught up in what God asked them to do and in the fears of what was presently looking at them. And I believe that it's a moment in time where we need to make a decision. Am I going to be caught up and stuck with what I can see, or am I going to step into what God promised me to do? Am I going to take ground in God's plan? The reality is God has a plan in every single person's life and for every single generation. And what I know is that God has never been surprised, not one time. Look, he was not surprised about the Great Depression. He was not surprised when cell phones were invented. He wasn't surprised when the Wright brothers took off on their first flight. He wasn't like shocked standing in heaven like he never imagined it could happen. He wasn't amazed when the first cell phone made a call. He wasn't amazed that when Y2K was happening, that January 1st was an all right day in 2001. God has never been surprised by anything. He certainly was not surprised by COVID in 2020. And what we also need to realize about God is that according to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, that God's works are already completed. So if God has a plan, a purpose, and a promise for everybody that's already complete, could a pandemic, could an issue stop what God already bought and paid for and did? Absolutely not. And I believe that this promise, call me what you want, but I believe this promise isn't even on God anymore, but it's on our willingness to obey God instead of obeying what we see. Because see, what we see will place a fear inside of our heart to regress away from what God has for us, or a faith inside of our heart to take what God has promised. It's an option that's left for every single believer. Not just us collectively, not just as a generation, but also personally. What am I going to do with the plans and the purposes of God? And it's a decision that we make. And it's a decision that as we make, we get to step into or we run from. So I think that we need a generation of believers to rise up that are going to say, I'm not just going to look and hope and wish that it would have happened, but I'm going to walk into what Jesus Christ has for me. But think about it. People are like, oh, I just want revival. I just want revival. You realize God wants revival more than you want revival? If anybody in this world could want revival more than us, his name is Jesus Christ. Well, I just want my family member to be saved. Do you think Jesus doesn't want your family member to be saved more than you do? God wants these things even more than us. And it's time as a body of believers that we rise up and say, I'm going to take what God has promised. I'm going to be a go-getter. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what's happening around me. I'm going to take ground for what Jesus Christ has already promised. I was thinking about it. I was like, man, who do I know that's a go-getter? And the first person that popped in my head was my wife. And here's why. Some of you might know. But I had to almost file a restraining order against her because she was stalking me. I was just a good, young, innocent young man, and this older woman, she started stalking me. She started showing up everywhere. Security, we were talking to security, like, look, do you want me to, like, talk to her? Or, like, what are we gonna? I was like, well, she's kind of hot, so it's all right. but she saw what she wanted, and she started stalking me. She's a real go-getter. And then I started thinking about, in Scripture, how many times do we see people, God's people, taking ground? I was reading in Hebrews last month, and in Hebrews chapter 4, it's talking about how because of the lack of the fear of the Lord, they did not enter the rest of the Lord. I was like, man, what is that talking about? And I read that in Hebrews chapter 4. It led me back to Numbers chapter 13 and 14, talking about God's chosen people, the Israelites. It's a powerful story because many of us know that God's chosen people were in slavery. For 440 years, they were in a foreign land. And God raises up this man named Moses. And Moses goes and let my people go. If you ever watch Prince of Egypt, best Disney movie they ever made. Let my people go. And after 10 plagues, they have their freedom. They knock on their neighbor's doors, the Egyptians' doors. And they're like, we're leaving. And God said to take all your gold and silver. We're out. And they start walking along their journey. And on their journey, they get to the Red Sea. And Pharaoh's army's behind them. And there's a sea in front of them. And God places a barrier and a wall in between them. And Scripture says in Psalms that Jesus led them on a secret path. He blew back the Red Sea. And on dry ground, they were able to walk through the Red Sea. And as Pharaoh's army comes marching behind them, chasing them down like they're going to get them, God releases the sea and it wipes out all of their enemies. Then they get to the desert as they're on their way to their promise. And a cloud starts over their head every single day, giving them direction and protection from the sun. At night, they get a pillar of fire, which is just like a crazy thing to try to imagine. Giving them light, protecting them from anything that would come against them. Giving them heat, because it gets cold, almost as cold as upstate New York. Pray for summer, guys. God starts to rain down manna. Like bread is raining for them to eat in the desert. A rock, this is probably the craziest one. I don't even know if it's the craziest one. A rock starts to follow them through the sand and produce water for them. It's not like a small trickle either. There was like 1 to 3 million people. And one rock, they didn't have to like put it on a cart and drag it through the sand. Like there's a rolling stone behind them, providing them with water throughout their journey in the desert. This is crazy. They get to this city called Jericho. That was so fortified they could run 2 whole chariots across the top. And they don't even have to raise a sword. They walk around it just one time for 7 days, and the 7th day, 7 times. It's like high effort from them. And then they shouted, and the walls came straight down. You gotta imagine this. God did all of this. And then they get to the edge of their promise. And then they decide, you know what we're going to do? We're going to see if God's a liar. We're sending a spy from every single tribe. And they send in these 12 spies. And the 12 spies check it out and they come back with this report. Surely, it's a good land. It's everything God said it was. It's flowing with milk and honey. Look, the grapes we brought back, it took 2 grown men to carry them. This is impressive. And then they say this. But there were giants in that land. And in their eyes, we're like grasshoppers. And in a moment of all of what Jesus, all of what God had done to bring them out of bondage, into freedom, and into the promise, they negated all of what God had already done because they decided to do things their way and listen to people who had no faith. As a body of Christ, it's time to stop listening to people that don't have faith. I don't get my advice from foolish people. I get it from faith-filled people. I'm not getting it from a news channel because they're just selling me fear to keep me watching. I think I say this every single time I preach, but I really like the news is not there to give you the news anymore. They're there to sell you commercials. And they've realized that if you can be fearful, they'll keep you through the commercial breaks to watch the next section of the news. So they're not there to give you news anymore. They're there to sell you their brand of fear. No matter if it's FOX, CNN, it doesn't matter what the letters are. They're all selling a level of fear and propaganda so they can sell us more commercials for more money. It's a business. It's not informative anymore. But they get their news on God's promise from 10 men who had no faith. And it's crazy to me because I don't want to see this as God's people any longer. That God has died for something, a promise for every single person in this room. And those promises for everybody is salvation. The covenant for everybody is healing. The covenant for everybody is a level of prosperity that matches up with our purpose. But if we continue to listen to faithless people giving us reports on what God can and cannot do, we'll never have the promise of what God actually can do. There's enough people that are scared of what God already said, because the reality is they weren't grasshoppers. The giants were just house sitters. God had prepared everything for them. They tilled the fields for them. They built great houses for them. They had all the cattle for them. They did everything for God's people. But instead of viewing them as house sitters, they saw them as the opposition and ran the other direction. And because of their fear, they were banned from stepping into God's promise. Does anybody in this room want all of what Jesus has promised them? The reality is, if we're going to move forward into that, if we're going to take ground, it's not rooted in fear, it's rooted in faith. It's rooted in faith. Regression is not an option. And there might be a place in your life where you're saying, man, over this year, I definitely regressed in this area. Can I tell you from this day forward, it's not an option anymore. Maybe you say, well, I put my dream on pause. It's time to pull it off the shelf. It's time to dust that thing off. And it's time to run forward like nothing else was happening. You want to know why? Because scripture says so. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And whose trust is the Lord? Because they'll be planted. And when the heat gets turned up, they won't get scared. And when everybody else is anxious, they'll still produce fruit. God's plan is not for us to run in fear, but it's to go at things in faith. It's to go at things in faith. This is what the children of Israel did. They said this, and this is mind-blowing. They said, let us choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Let me play this out if this actually would have happened with them. Say they're on the edge of the promised land here. They thought it was a good idea to walk back to Jericho and try to step over all the rubble of what Jesus already defeated. They thought it was a good idea to walk through the desert where they needed a cloud over their head and a fire by night, where they needed a rock to follow them, where they needed manna to come from heaven and quails to come flying into their hands. They wanted to walk back through this desert to the edge of the Red Sea and swim across the ocean, all 1 to 3 million of them, with Pharaoh's chariots at their feet, to show back up in Egypt. Like, hey, I was just kidding about the gold and silver. Here, it's back. Oh, by the way, we're here full time again. Like the firstborn son, because Pharaoh wouldn't listen to God. Sorry about that. All the cattle that died in the plagues, really, I apologize. Didn't mean for that to happen. Can you imagine them asking for forgiveness because of what Jesus did to give them freedom? Swimming back across their testimony. Regression is not an option. It's an asinine plan. But people do it all the time, and it's fear-driven. I'm sorry, fear should not drive us away as a believer in Jesus. There's only one way to overcome, and it's 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. And by this you will overcome, ready? Your faith. Fear brings no victory in our life. Fear gets us running from what God had said. But faith brings victory. Every single time. I think it's time for the body of Christ to dig their feet in, put their hand in the ground, and start running at the things that oppose Jesus, that oppose the promises of God. I'm sorry, if Jesus died for it, I'm not running from it. There's a greater thing that lives inside of me, and it's the Holy Ghost. I'm not running from anything when I'm full of what will bow its knee to. What do I mean by that? Philippians 2 verse 9 says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Therefore, if the Holy Spirit, which lives inside of me, the Trinity is inside of my life, I'm not going to run from what cancer would bow to. I'm not going to run from what prosperity would bow to. I'm not going to run from anything that would challenge what Jesus already paid for. Psalm says it like this: the wicked flee when no one's pursuing. I really only know that because there's a meme about jogging, and I would agree with it fully. Jogging's a bad choice. So isn't running in fear. Because I believe that Jesus died not so that we would always be on the run, but we'd be moving forward. Fear, doubt, discouragement are all emotions that are ugly stepsisters. They're not lovable. Nobody likes them. Only a mother could love them. But they all come together. And what I found is that fear exists when we forget who Jesus is and we start to focus on ourselves. We know this from Numbers 13 and 14. They said, there's giants and we're grasshoppers. Oh, what's a giant to the Spirit of God? You know what? They were right. In of themselves, they were not enough to defeat those giants. That's fair. In of myself, I can't defeat sin. I can only do so much. And that's what faith genuinely is. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says it like this: it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And what that means is Paul was saying, there's an exchange in ownership of my life. What do I mean by that? I mean that I no longer trust me, but I trust the God that lives in me. And I might not have been a strong enough, smart enough, good enough, fast enough, but the God in me is more than enough. The economy might not have been right, but the God in me overcomes any economy. That I might not have been good enough to put this marriage back together, but the God in me put this thing back. That my children were a mess, but the God in me. See, fear exists when we take our eyes off Jesus and we look at ourselves. We're not good enough, but the same Spirit, Romans 8:11, that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you as a believer in Jesus Christ. What thing ever caused Jesus to run? I never see him jogging in Scripture. I'm just saying, there's a good scriptural case to not jog. Let me ask you this. What thing ever defeated Jesus? Absolutely nothing. What can ever dethrone Jesus? Nothing. What can make Jesus into a liar? No one. So fear is only a tactic of the enemy to manipulate us away from the promises of God. That's it. Fear is a tactic to try to manipulate us that God is not enough. But that's not true. God is enough. And when we realize that fear is when I stop looking at God and I look at myself, but fear is not only that, but fear is a spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7, it says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is not just an emotion, it's a spiritual thing. You gotta realize we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. A lot of people, they wrestle with fear as if, oh, I got to just coach myself through this. I can do this. No, this is a spiritual thing. The enemy would love to place fear in front of you so that you run the other direction. I'm sorry, I'm going to run through you. There's just an attitude you got to get as a son or a daughter of the Most High God. I don't care how big you look. You can be the biggest, baddest giant in the whole world. I'm going to run through you and I'm going to smoke you. It doesn't matter what you look like, what you sound like, how big you are, how long you've been here. It doesn't matter. Because the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead now lives inside of me. And fear is a spirit. And we weren't given a spirit of fear, but of power. You have a spirit of power. As a believer in Jesus, you have a spirit of power. Not in yourself, not in natural strength, but a spirit of power in your heart. Where I'm not backing down for anything. Did you ever see the littlest guy in the rooms? The one that's like, I'm never backing down for anything, like trying to fight everybody? Look, you have a spirit of power. You have a spirit of love. I'm sorry, fear will chase you. Love embraces you. And a sound mind. Fear gets you all. Julian says, my son's 4. He's hilarious. And he knows he's funny, and it's not good. He says, when his hair is messed up, he's like, it's all blumped up. What? What is blumped, dude? I'm like, Dad, my hair's blumped up. Okay, Julian, your hair's all blumped up. But I'll tell you what fear will do. It'll blump up your emotions. It'll blump up your mind. It'll blump up how you think. Because you're not thinking right. You're thinking all blumpy. Stop getting blumped up by a spirit of fear. Because you have power, love, and a sound mind. Fear is an attack against the truth, a manipulation against your emotions. And here's what we got to realize about fear. It's impossible to live a life of fear and inherit the kingdom of God at the same time. Like, well, that's not nice. It's true. Because you can't obey God and live in fear at the same time. How could you live in fear of what God asked you to take? It forces you to live in disobedience. And it's impossible to live a life of fear and inherit the kingdom at the same time. Revelation 21, I'm just going to use verses for everything. Get mad at the Bible, not me. Revelation 21:6, and I'm just going to read the first 2 words of 8. This is Jesus talking. He said, and he also said, it is finished. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Ready? But cowards. Skip down to the end of verse 8, and it says, their fate is in the fiery lake with the burning sulfur, and this is the second death. See, fear causes us to disobey God. But faith has us taking steps forward at any moment because of anything. It doesn't matter what it looks like, what giant it is, what it's named, what it's called, what the doctor said, what the bills say, what the family says. It doesn't matter any of those things. It matters that we take steps forward in faith. Here's what I've realized about fear and faith. They're very similar because they ask the same question. Both fear and faith make us ask the same question. And the question is very simple. Who is this Jesus? They ask the same thing. Fear makes you ask, you really think Jesus is going to be big enough to heal you of that cancer? You really think Jesus is going to use you to see your family get saved? You really think Jesus can put your family back together? You really think that Jesus is going to help your business prosper?
You really think Jesus is going to get inside of that idea and you're going to be able to sustain your family? No, no, you should run away from that and do the opposite because you're going to be a failure. Who is this Jesus anyways? And faith is on the other side. So who is this Jesus? He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end of all things. Hebrews says it like this. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. You know what's cool about that word author? I didn't tell first service this. Y'all are special. The word author is from the same word that they would have used for like a goldsmith or somebody that would craft a very, very good. It was all hand work back then. It wasn't like molded images. What they would do is they would pour this and they would handcraft like an idol to worship. So the word author was literally the same word as what they would use to describe one of those goldsmiths that would design this amazing little idol that someone would treasure so much that it would be an idol in their life that they would worship. So the word author is expressing and showing that he's intricate and detailed in being the finisher of your faith. It's not accidental. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. Who is this Jesus? Jesus asked the question. He said, who do men say that I am? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, who do men say that I am? Well, some say that you're the prophet Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist reincarnated. And then he stops, he says, but who do you say that I am? And this is the same question that we all personally have to answer. Not your mom, not your praying grandmother, not that person in your small group that's like the most spiritual, not your pastor, but this is an individual question that we must answer. Who do you say Jesus is? And this is why our Bible is so important. You're not going to know everything that Jesus is by coming to services. You're not going to know all of who Jesus is simply by watching broadcasts all day. It's important to do those things. But it's even more important to be in the Word of God on a daily thing. A daily routine to read the Word of God. Like, let me ask you this. How could you know the God of the Word if you don't read the Word of God? How could you know the promises of God if you never read the promises of God? How could you know what Jesus has said about you if you never read the words of Jesus? So the reality is, if we don't know our word, we can't answer this question well, and it's no reason, it's no surprise that when fear presents itself, people run. But those who know their God, I don't care what it is. I don't care what that doctor says. I don't care what that person says. I don't care what it feels like. Those who know their God, they plant their feet, they dig in, they put their hand in the ground, and they go running at that thing a million miles an hour. Why? Because when you know who your God is, those who know their God will be strong and do exploits. Daniel 11, verse 32. Those who know their God will be strong and do exploits. Not those who know their God, but the person who's not very social, they won't do exploits. But if only the pastor will be strong. No, those who know their God. Yes. It's an open invitation to know your God. But what did Jesus say about himself? In the Gospel of John, there's 8 I am statements about who he is. John chapter 6, verse 35, he said, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. He'll take care of your earthly satisfaction. In John 8, verse 12, he said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but have the light of life. And this is the problem with the children of Israel. They weren't following the words of God. They started to follow the words of foolish men who didn't have any faith. I'm sorry, we got a whole generation of the blind leading the blind. If your greatest discipleship is coming from YouTube, you probably found some person who doesn't know their God from their elbow. YouTube is not your discipleship. Get in a discipleship And you're like, well, I can learn things. Yeah, you can. Just make sure they've actually built something. You know, not just someone with some cute words, but they got nothing. Also, how do you know anything someone says is powerful? Because I can go find someone right now who's broke with a dollar to their name, but they know all the right things to say to run a business. Or I can go find someone who's ran a business and they got enough to their name. I would personally listen to someone who did it and has it, as opposed to someone who only knows how to talk about it. It's the same with feeding on the word of God from men and women of God. I'm not going to listen to somebody who doesn't have anything to show for what they think they know. Because you only really know it if it's produced fruit in the life. So before you just throw on any old name on YouTube, see if they've actually built something. I'll get off that. But Jesus is the light. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. John chapter 1. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the light. I'm sorry, the whole world can be going to hell in a handbasket. If you walk with Jesus, you'll be walking in the light. You won't stumble. Your leaves won't wither. The heat can get turned up and you won't get browned out. You won't die. You don't have to get anxious when everybody else is, because the light is leading you. Jesus said in John 10:9, he said, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. In John 10:11, he said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In John 11, verse 25, he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. In John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by me. John chapter 15, verse 1, he says, I'm the true vine, and my Father's the vine dresser. The one I think I love the most. It's John chapter 8, verse 58. He said, before Abraham was, I am. What he was declaring is what Scripture says about him in John chapter 1, verse 3, 4, and 5. Is what Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 19 says about him. Is that he was in the beginning at creation with God. And he upholds all things that are in existence to today, that have ever been existence, and that ever will be in existence. And that in all things, he has the first say. He has preeminence, according to Colossians chapter 1. He said, I am, not I was, not I am going to be, but I always am back then, and I am still in the future, and I am right now. So it doesn't matter what fear is trying to say, because I am has something to say about it. And what God says about it is the final word, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no lie in God. There's no dethroning God. There's no defeating God. He is the truth. And the fullness of grace and truth abide in him, according to John 1, 14 and 17. Y'all just got me quoting my Bible out here left and right today. I guess it's good I'm preaching from the Bible, so. The problem is, though, like, a lot of people have revelation of the world, not of God. And the church is seeking the promises of God in the world. I'm sorry, your boss is not your provider. Jesus is. And the world is seeking the things of God in their own strength. But when we have a revelation of who Jesus is, nothing will replace what Jesus is supposed to be in our life. He's still moving. This is what was said about Caleb and Joshua. You remember 10 had fear and 2 had faith. Unfortunately, it's probably the same ratio. Not in this place. 10 had fear, 2 had faith. John chapter 14, verse 6. We'll read a couple, then we'll cut down to verse 24. It says this. It says, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jeph, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, which means they were heartbroken, they were sad, they were distraught because of the report of fear. And they spoke to all the children of the congregation of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delights in us, which I would say, based upon what the Lord had already done, he might delight in them. Up for, like, negotiation, I guess, but proof's in the pudding. Then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Here's the same truth. Whatever Jesus has told you to do, I don't know, maybe it's that business, maybe it's laying hands on that person, maybe it's sharing Jesus with that person, maybe it's moving, maybe it's setting up shop. I don't know what it is, but whatever the Lord has told you to do, only do not fear, because if the Lord delights in you, the protection of that thing is removed. And if you trust in the Lord, and those whose trust is the Lord will be planted by the rivers, and it doesn't matter what the economy looks like, it doesn't matter what it looks like on the onset, it doesn't matter what the doctor says, it doesn't matter what it feels like, it doesn't matter what it looks like, it doesn't matter what it sounds like, it doesn't matter what it tastes like. The reality is, its protection has departed it. Only do not fear. And then they were punked over the next couple verses. And they decided to side with people who didn't have faith. It's why you just remove the voice of the faithless from your life. It's much easier. And verse 24 says this: "But as for my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it." See, here's the reality. Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit about them. And I believe that the people of God have a different spirit about them. We don't have a spirit of fear, we have a spirit of faith. And a spirit of faith will cause us to follow God fully. And it doesn't matter what any other voice says, a spirit of faith will follow God fully, because it says, I don't care what it looks like, I trust what God has done in the past, he'll continue to do in the future. And I trust what God has spoken to me, he's not a liar. And because he's not a liar, I can walk fully in obedience with a different spirit inside of me. And my life won't be like everybody else's life, but I'm going up and I'm going over. And everybody else can go down if they want, but I'm going up. A different spirit. It was a different spirit. Do you know what a spirit of faith says? Do you know what the different spirit says? I don't care what anybody else says. I've been crucified with Christ. So everybody else in the world can come against me, but I'm already dead. You can't kill what's been crucified. I don't care what they say. Do you know what a spirit of faith says? You can challenge me, you can cancel me on Twitter, you can say whatever you want on social media, it really doesn't affect me, because you can't burn down what's already on fire. You can say whatever you want, you can try to say my business is gonna fail, you can try to say that I'm crazy, but you can't burn down what's already on fire. Oh, I've already been baptized with Jesus Christ. You can't drown me out. You can try to say the voice doesn't matter, but I've been baptized with Jesus. It doesn't matter what you're going to threaten me with. Oh, the promises that were completed from the beginning of time, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3, no, you can't cancel what's already done in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what you got to say. You know what the world needs? A scared world needs a courageous church that says you can try to kill, you can try to drown, burn, cancel. It doesn't matter. I've been crucified. Baptized. I'm Holy Ghost on fire. I got the promises of God. The world needs a courageous church that's not going to sit back and cry and whine and run, but are going to dig in and go at what Jesus has for them. That's what the world needs. You know what's respected? The first man through the door. I'm sorry, the world isn't going to be dragging the church much longer when we realize that Jesus has called us to be courageous. That's not how it's designed to be. The church should be the first one through the door. The first one through the door. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, "These things I've spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world. Here's the reality. It's time to take courage. Because God has promises for you. And he's already overcome the world. For some people, and this looks different for people. It looks the same on these levels. Salvation is for everybody. Healing is for everybody that's saved. And your level of prosperity according to your purpose is for everybody that's saved. Those are all the same. But what's different is there might be a businessman. And God has asked you to do something. And there might have been hands up because the economy and the bubble that's going to burst. And X, Y, and Z. But if Jesus told you to do it, it's time to jump. For some people, it might be your family. I don't see how it could be done. The psychiatrist said it would be impossible. I might as well just close in shop. But if Jesus told you something different, it's time to chase what Jesus said. For some people, it might be a doctor's note. Jesus said something different. I don't know what it is, but what I know is that if Jesus said it, it's time to run after it. I'm not running from anything that has a spirit of fear attached. I'm going to snuff it out and see what Jesus truly said. Because our faith is how we overcome the world. Amen? 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 I'm telling you, the world needs a generation of a church that's not going to be scared and sheepish and a bunch of crybabies, but are strong in the things of Jesus. That I'm getting all of what Jesus died for. I'm getting all of his promises, and I don't care what anybody else says. The rest of the church can run the other direction, but I'm running towards what Jesus promised. I want all of what God has for me. Amen? Will you bow your heads in this place? Maybe there's people in here, you're saying, you know what, I want the promises of God, and I feel like I put some stuff on the back burner. I feel like fear is gripping me and making it so I can't run forward. I feel a spirit of fear on this area in my life. Jesus has greater. He has freedom, power, love, and a sound mind. Free in Jesus, free in Jesus. Maybe it's a business. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you're branching out on your own. Maybe it's for your family. Maybe it's for your healing. I don't know what it is, but here's what I know. We overcome by faith. And we can stare into the promised land and look at those giants. Your giants are probably saying about you, I hope they don't realize that they're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I hope they don't come this way and test it out. I hope they don't ever see if I'm truly protected and strong like they think I am. I hope they don't test it, because I know I'll lose. You're in this room, you're saying, you know what, I got fear in this area and I want it to go. I don't want to embarrass you, that's why your heads are down. I'm saying, I want freedom. I'm going to take a step of faith. Pastor Rhonda spoke about it last week. It requires action. Because you want to know that? Why? True faith has works. Faith without works is dead. You can say you have faith, but if you don't have anything to back it up, then you just got words. There's too many hot air balloons. We need substance. Today, if you're saying, I need a spirit of faith, I'm done with fear and I want faith. I'm not running away. I'm going to run at this thing. I'm going to get what Jesus asked me to do. Will you wave your hand at me? Amen, 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 amen. Amen, amen, amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now a refreshing of faith. Father, we would see faith rise inside of the hearts of every believer. That, Lord, what you've asked us to do, we would stand strong and we would march forward. That we wouldn't be driven by a spirit of fear. But Father, I thank you that you said we have power, we have love, and we have a sound mind. Lord, as big as it is, I thank you that you're bigger inside of us. And that we'll see great and mighty things. And at the end of these 21 days, there'll be testimonies in hand of what you've done. As a proof of who you are and a proof of that you love us. So thank you, Jesus, for testimonies in hand at the end of 21 days. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. With your head bowed, if you're in this room, you say, I don't know Jesus. Can I tell you the greatest miracle? I think one of my favorite I ams is I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way to the Father except by me. There's only one way to heaven. It's not any other religion. It's not being a good person. It's not sitting in here religiously. It's not going to groups. It's not going to class. It's giving your life to Jesus. Not just as your Savior to say, I got out of hell, but as your Lord. In a daily personal relationship with Him. Today, if that's you, you say, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe I need this, and it's the very first time, and I feel Jesus talking on my heart. It's easy. Scripture says, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. Maybe you used to serve God with everything, but now you've been living a life of hell, in a lifestyle of sin. Today's your day. You feel that tug. You're ready to get right with God. Will you wave your hand at me saying, I want to get right with God? Amen. I see your hand. Come on, anybody else? I want to get right with God. I want to get right with God. Amen. Amen. Can we stand to our feet and all across this room? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up front. Kayla and Terry and then Tim Noel, can you guys jump up here too? If you need prayer for anything in this room, I want to pray with you. And here's how a lot of people think. Can I expose the devil real quick? A lot of people are like, well, I'll just go pray in my car. I don't want to get embarrassed by going up there. Everyone thinks I got everything in order. You realize that's the spirit of fear? That people will look at you differently? In the spirit of fear, here's what's going to happen. You'll run off your car, but I'll just pray in the car by myself. And then when you get to the car, the spirit of fear turns to condemnation. You're like, stupid, you know you should have went in there. God's not going to do nothing for you alone in your car. You know that you disobeyed God. Just make it easy. If you know that you need God to do something in your life and you feel a little bit of fear, do what you should do. Challenge it and come up front. Because we don't run from fear, we run at fear. Because on the other side of fear is victory in what Jesus has for you. Amen? I don't care what it is. If it's healing, if it's, I don't care what you need prayer for. There's people at the front for you right now. And if you raise your hand for salvation, here's my stalker, aka my wife. She wants to pray with you and give you a Bible. That's the greatest thing you can do, is give your life to Jesus. I'm actually going to invite you to the front. If you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to invite you to the front, even right now, over to Mindy. We're going to put our hands together. Come on. Scripture says that angels are rejoicing in heaven right now. Amen. And here's what we're going to do on the count of three. If you need prayer for anything, I got enough people up here, I think. We want to pray for you. And on the count of three, you want prayer for anything, I'm going to invite you to the front. And just boldly, quickly, get out of your seat. You ready? One, two, three. Go ahead. Come on. Anyone, anywhere, right up front, said, I need prayer. I don't care what it is. We're not here to judge you. Family doesn't judge you. We're celebrating faith, and we're joining faith together. Amen? Before we release you guys, I want to encourage you. We have 21 days of praise, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night at 7 p.m. I want to encourage you to be here. Maybe say, I don't have anything to praise for. Praise Him for what He did in the past. Well, I don't have anything. I don't got anything I need. Come praise Him. I have something I need. Come and praise Him. And then as you leave today, out in the front, there's a testimony wall. Some people got healed in this service. Write what Jesus did for you so we can celebrate together how great our God is. Amen? Amen? In the back, if you're a lady over the age of 18, actually, I don't even care, any ladies, there's mugs in the back. We'd love to give you a mug. We're a week late for Mother's Day, but we love you. So we got the mugs in the back. Have a great day. We'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday for the 21 Days of Praise. Have a great night. We love you guys.
We lift you up for all eternity, you.
celebrate. We come to give you everything, every single thing. We shout hallelujah. We lift you up. Father, we lift you up. We lift you up higher. Say higher. We give you praise. Father, we give you praise. We give it up louder. Louder. We give you praise. Father, we give you praise. We give it up louder. Sing louder. We lift you up. Father, we lift you up. We lift you up higher.
Satisfy my thirst, to love me at my